our third and last part of our Lenten mission. So last night we talked about the higher purpose of life that I am sure that you all have been doing for a very, very long time, service. Some people might think that I am getting fed up with this activity. It's always better to serve than to be served. See, when people need you, it must and it have to give you much pleasure just to know that you are needed. There was this story of a boy, Robert, not your bishop, of course, no? Robert, who will be celebrating his birthday, and his mother gave him his first pair of long pants. He was 6 years old, and he was so happy. But when he tried it on, the long pants was longer than his feet, at least 2 inches. So he went to his mother and said, "Mother, please fix my long pants, cut it, so that it will fit my feet. It's 2 inches long." The mother said, "I cannot do that. No, we don't waste clothes. So you just fold it, and that would be good enough for tomorrow's celebration." "But mother, I don't want the long pants is longer than my feet. No, please cut it 2 inches." The mother said, "No." So the boy didn't lose hope. He find another one. He went to his sister and asked his sister, "Please, sister, cut my long pants 2 inches. It's long." "I heard what mother said. Please, just obey." The boy was getting desperate. He went to his grandmother. And you know how grandmothers are with their grandchildren. They will do anything. No, they can climb the highest mountain for their grandchildren. So the child said, "Grandma, please cut the long pants 2 inches because it's long." But the grandmother said, "I heard what your mother told you. Just fold the pants and it will be good enough." The boy was so sad. It will be his birthday tomorrow and the long pants is 2 inches long. He went to bed and started to cry and he fell asleep crying. Then the mother looked at the room, the bedroom, and saw there were still tears in the eyes of Robert. So the mother entered the room and said, "My child, you don't really know me. How can I not give you your request? It is your birthday. I'm just kidding you." The mother took the long pants. He cut it 2 inches, then put it in the bed and said, "Tomorrow you will be surprised." Later, the sister came into the room. And the sister said, "My brother, it's your birthday. Why should not I give in to your request?" The sister took the long pants, cut 2 inches, and then put it in the bed and said, "Tomorrow you will be surprised." And lastly, the grandmother entered. She took the long pants, cut 2 inches, and then said, "Tomorrow you will be surprised." The following day, the boy was surprised because the long pants became short pants again. When people ask you for help, do not wait. Sometimes, if we wait for a long time, the help doesn't, they do not need the help that they were asking for at that moment. It is very good for us to serve. Remember, today we will be continuing our last part of our journey. In this journey, we know and we learn that it is not a journey of perfection. I hope you understood that clearly. Our journey as disciples is not a journey of perfection. It is a journey of constancy and consistency in trying to get up every time we fall. Let us now listen or sing, if you know how to sing this song. This is our prayer song, our opening prayer song for tonight.
the darkest desert, through the deepest snow, forward, always forward I go. What a journey it has been, and the end is not in sight. Tonight, and they're bound to guide my way. When they're shining on my life, I can see a better day. I won't let the darkness in. What a journey it has been. Journey it has been, and the end is not in sight, but the stars are out tonight, and they're bound to guide my way. When they're shining on my life, I can see a better.
They say that life is a journey that never ends, but have way stations in life that we just need to keep on moving forward and upward. No, never, never move backward. So today I would like to have this passage as our reading for our topic of reconciliation. It is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, 27 to 32. Let us read together. Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Please read. Really? Me? Please say this to the person beside you. And now you reply to that person these words. Jesus came for all of us. In Romans 3:23, St. Paul says, please read. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Jesus came for all of us. And that is good news. Despite our weaknesses, our failures, our mistakes, and our sins, I am sure Jesus likes us so much that He came for all of us. You know, when I was saying Mass for the inmates in one of the prisons in the Philippines, I always say to the prisoners, "Do not envy us who are outside the prison walls, because we are just the same. All of us are the same. We are all sinners. All of us have sinned. There is only one difference. You got caught. Stupid. We haven't been caught yet. But I am sure there are dark moments in our hearts that we choose badly. We make wrong decisions and we make bad choices. But Jesus came for us. And that is a very good news for all of us. You know, sometimes we commit mistakes, we fall, we sin. Well, we have experiences in the family that really weakens our resolve, no, to sustain the change that we were talking about in the first day. There was this family who have problems with each other. Unfaithfulness is rampant nowadays. There was this man, this boy who said to his father, "Father, I saw a beautiful girl and I want to court her and marry her. Her name was Anna. She lives in front of our house." The father said, "Come here." "Why, father? You cannot court and marry Anna." "Why?" "Don't tell your mother, huh? Anna is also my daughter. You are brothers and sisters. You cannot marry her." The boy was sad. But the following week, he was jubilant again. "Father, father, I saw a very beautiful girl, more beautiful than Anna. She's Jennifer. She lives at the corner. Come here. You cannot also marry Jennifer." "Why?" "Don't tell your mother, huh? Jennifer is also my daughter. You are brothers and sisters." The boy started crying and the mother saw him crying and said, "Why are you crying?" "It's father." "What did he do to you?" Every girl that I would like to court and marry, he says that I cannot marry them." "Why is that?"
Because he said they are also his children. That's it."
"Well, don't cry. Stop crying. Don't believe him. Don't tell him, huh? He's not actually your father." Sometimes you think that it's a tie. Sometimes we are trying to get over these trials in the family. There was this story about a father who bought a robot who determines if you're saying the truth or if you're lying. And he slaps the person when he determines that the person is lying. So when the family was eating, the father asked the son, "Where did you go this afternoon?" "I went to my classmate's house." The robot slapped the son. "You see, the robot knows, huh? Tell me, where did you go?" "Well, in one of my friends here, I didn't go to school." "What did you do there?" "We watched cartoons." The robot slapped the child. "What did you watch?" "Well, we watched those forbidden movies." The father said to the boy, "When we were young, when I am your age, we do not watch those kinds of movies." The robot slapped the father. The mother laughed. "You see, he is really like you. He is really your son." The robot slapped the mother. Sometimes these things do happen in the family. We are weakened because of tragedies and trials that we experience in life. Remember, no matter where we have been, as I have told you before, it is really, maybe we have really bad beginnings. We cannot go back and change bad beginnings, but we can always start and create a wonderful ending. Jesus would like us to experience that. Watch this. This is the story of Mary Magdalene, how Jesus handled the situation very well.
law commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say?
It's a trap.
I'll give my stone to the first man who tells me that he has never sinned.
Sometimes we just have to look at ourselves when we start condemning people for their mistakes. Be patient with them because God anyway is very patient with you. So never, never condemn. When you have problems about your life, when you have troubles, when you are committing mistakes, don't go to the perfectionist. They will just judge you. You don't need that because you can do that to yourself. We need compassion. We need mercy. And that's what Jesus is offering us. I will gladly give my stone to the first man who can tell me that he has never sinned. All of us have committed mistakes, even you, Father, especially me. But maybe if you go to hell, I will be the first one you will see. Oh, Father Bong is also here. Then I will say, please keep quiet. The bishop is resting. But the bishop heard you. What noise is that? The parishioners of Jesus, our risen Savior in North Carolina, Bishop, tell them to be quiet. The cardinal is sleeping. Who knows? All of us are just trying to journey towards that narrow gate. And all of us are just trying to enter it. We are really going through, even though with our weakness and frailties, we're just trying to move forward. To be constant in getting up every time we fall. There was this priest who learned that somebody was helping himself with the collection of the parish. So one time, the priest put a surveillance camera and discovered that it was the head altar server. We call it the sacristan. The one who takes care of the sacristy, fixing the vessels and the vestments of the priest. He learned that it was the sacristan. So the priest called all the employees of the parish. We have a meeting because I know now who is getting money from the collection. How will you know, Father? The sacristan said, I will throw this bowl, and to whomever the bowl, whoever the bowl hits, he is the one who is stealing money from the collection. And without anything, the priest threw the bowl to the sacristan, but the sacristan was able to duck, and the bowl hit the chair, and the ball bounced back to the parish priest and hit the parish priest. Everybody was shocked. Ah, OMG. The parish priest said, oops, that was just practice. again. All of us are hiding something. We have all committed this mistake. Some people will say, it is hard to be good, Father, because the commandments are very, very hard. Is that true? Commandments are hard? I don't know how to obey the light. When I am in the light, as if God is calling me to the afterlife. So I'm trying to obey it. Maybe God is fetching me when I... So You see, oh, it's going up and up. Later, we cannot see anymore the videos. So, what am I talking about? I forgot because of the light. What am I saying? At my age, sometimes I forget. I always forget. Did I lock the door of my car? Sometimes I have to go back and just check if the doors are locked. Maybe it's the start of Alzheimer's disease, no? Dementia, or whatever. But what am I saying? That was finished. No? The parish priest got hit, and sometimes. Let's forget about it. I already forget. The commandments. They say that it is hard. Oh, my God. Oh, the light is really following me, Lord. I'm not afraid to die, but I'm not in a hurry. There are many people here. Maybe you can get them ahead of me. So, here, I can hide here. See? Some people will say, it is hard to be good because the commandments are very hard. Is that true? Like, what, one example of a commandment, love one another. That is hard. That is what we dream of, to be loved and to love. If nobody loves you and you love nobody, it is a very pitiable life. I pity you if you don't love anybody and nobody loves you. Tell that to the person beside you. I pity you. 1, 2, 3. What did he say? Oh, come on. And also with you. That is what we dream. You know, the problem is not with the commandment. It is the way we live the commandment. Jesus said, love one another. But what do? Love another one. So we change just one word, we transfer it to the last part, and it sounds very bad. Another commandment that they say is hard, honor your father and your mother. That is hard? That is also our dream, but sometimes we fail to do it. But to fail one time doesn't mean you have to fail the rest of your life. You might have started badly in treating your parents, but it doesn't mean you have to end up that way. God gives chances. Look at Mary Magdalene. He was given that new chance in life. And he became Saint Mary Magdalene. He was one of those who witnessed and who saw. She was the first to see Jesus when Jesus resurrected from the dead. What a wonderful gift for a very sinful woman. Why do I sin? Am I a bad person? I told you this last Sunday. People might say, so Father, why do I commit sin? Am I really a bad person? I would like to remind you, no one is bad because God didn't create anybody bad. In the Bible, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The Bible says, please read, God saw that it was good in the book of Genesis. When God created plants and animals, the Bible says, please read, God saw that it was good. But when God created us, men, the Bible says, please read, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Always remember, no matter what your past was, your mistakes can never make you bad. Because God has planted that inherent goodness in our hearts. Never forget that, because that is what God wants us to do every time we fall. We just have to continue getting up. No one is bad. In life, we might have started badly, but it doesn't mean that we have to end up that way. So this is the sacrament of reconciliation. That is why Jesus instituted this sacrament, because he knows that we are weak, that we can always go back whenever we are mistaken. we can always correct our mistakes. You know what great what real sin is? I believe that real sin is not to get up every time you fall. Real sin is not to find healing when you are wounded. Real sin is not to ask for forgiveness when you sin. That is the greatest sin of all. And everybody have second chances. Reconciliation. Please read. The restoration of friendly relations. Sometimes we break off our relationship with friends. To be reconciled is to be friends once again. Sometimes we say, Lord, later, huh? Because I want to do something wrong. But we can always go back and restore the friendship with the Lord. And that is to be reconciled with Jesus. Sometimes people don't want to be reconciled. It's better to get even. There was this altar, there was this janitor cleaning the confessional box. And while he was cleaning, then he heard something moving on the other side where the penitent is supposed to go. So he felt that the person who went there knelt down. So the janitor opened the small window of the confessional, and when he opened it, a woman started speaking, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. These are my sins." The janitor would like to say to the woman, wait, I am the janitor. But the woman spoke so fast and direct that he wasn't able to stop the woman. So the janitor cannot do anything. So he just sat down there and started to listen to the woman. I have been lying. I took things that are not mine. I say bad words. I gossip, Father. And lastly, it is so shameful. And I am unfaithful to my husband. That's all, Father. The janitor said, "Ma'am, I'm not the priest." What? You are not the priest? Who are you? I'm the janitor. I'm just cleaning the confessional box. Why did you listen to my sins? I will report you to the parish priest. Okay, I will report you to your husband. It's a tie. Everybody just wants to get even. But that is not the way of the Lord. The Lord would like us to be more patient with each other, to restore relationship. No one here is perfect, but we are just trying to bear our imperfections patiently, as Saint Therese have said. I told you that. It's really beautiful. Our imperfections will never affect our holiness. Because genuine holiness is to endure our imperfections patiently. Even saints are sinners who never gave up, they said. So don't worry about our imperfections. Let us now have some words of Saint John Paul II. Please read. Sacred Scripture speaks to us of this reconciliation, inviting us to make every effort to attain it. Now you are here, and some of you, or most of you, have already went to confession. No, I think at 6 to 7, you have been confessing for the past 3 days. So it's good that we will have less penitent later after this talk. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:20, St. Paul says, please read, "We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." That is the constant invitation to all of us. St. John Paul says, please read, "Scripture also tells us that it is above all a merciful gift of God to humanity." Do not reject the gift. When you sin, just go back. There is no big deal about that. No? Anyway, don't be ashamed. Everybody, including the priest that you're confessing to, commit mistakes. All of us do. So we are just here to hear and to give you guidance for whatever mistakes that we have committed in life. We're supposed to have more experience, no? Of course, that's just a presuppose, no? That is it. But of course, there are also some priests who commit mistakes. There was this priest who says, "Okay, we will now start with our procession. You boys, you form your line now. Whose statue will we follow, Father? You follow the risen Christ, the statue of the Lord of the risen Christ. You girls, you form your line. whose statue will we follow, Father? You follow the statue, the image of the Blessed Mother. And then the gay people said, and about what, how about us, Father? Whom will we follow? You people, come follow me. There was that story in the Philippines. Now, it is true. Maybe you know some of those. I have heard of so many cases. We are all human beings. We commit mistakes. But if God is patient with priests, I am sure he will be patient with you. Okay? You also commit mistakes, Father. God is giving you chances, especially me. In Spider-Man, I think you remember, Uncle Ben said to Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. We are supposed to be more experienced than you. So the penalty for us will be much more greater if we don't live up to the expectation of Christ in our priesthood. Please read. According to St. John Paul, reconciliation becomes necessary because there has been the break of sin, which derive all the other forms of break within man and above him. Reconciliation, therefore, in order to be complete, necessarily requires liberation from sin, which is to be rejected in its deepest root. This is what reconciliation does to us. So, reconciliation happens in the sacrament of confession. See, the priest is so happy hearing confession, huh? Sometimes it's really a boring ministry to hear confession of people. Some people will say, don't confess to that priest, he has bad breath. You're lucky that you only smell one bad breath. How about the priest? How many bad breath does the priest smells? Sometimes left to right. Some breath are like flavor of the month. It sticks to your habit. It stick to your clothes. So the priest is so happy with that, yawning. Ay, oh my gosh, again and again. Same sins all over again. Some people would say, why don't you just, can we confess through email, Father? Anyway, this is the modern age, no? Can we confess through email? Or can I just text my sin, Father, and you absolve me? Well, some people dream of that, no? Because sometimes they are ashamed to be seen by the priest. Well, maybe in time it will happen. So, but sometimes there are consequences that are not favorable. You watch this.
Ave María Purísima.
Bienvenido al servicio de confesión automática de la Iglesia Católica. Por favor, para comenzar, diga su nombre.
No se asuste, es un nuevo servicio que hemos instalado. La falta de vocaciones, ya sabe. Pero no se preocupe, la confesión tiene la misma validez. Ande, pruebe, diga su nombre.
Me llamo Anchón. Anchón Urrutia.
Su nombre es Anchón Urrutia. Indique, por favor, el pecado que ha cometido.
Adulterio.
No le he entendido. Repita, por favor.
Adulterio.
Ha seleccionado adulterio. ¿Es correcto, señor Urrutia?
Sí. Adulterio.
Por favor, para poder determinar su penitencia, indique con el teclado el número de mujeres con las que ha cometido adulterio.
Una. Vaya, no funciona. Una. He dicho una.
Ha cometido adulterio 11 veces. ¿Es correcto?
No. Una. Solo una. He dicho una, cancelar.
Correcto. Anchón Urrutia. Su pecado es adulterio cometido 11 veces. Espere a que se imprima su penitencia y recuerde, si no la cumple, irá directo al infierno.
Do you want that to happen to you? That is automated confession, huh? Because of lack of vocation. Maybe it will happen in the future. Sometimes things goes wrong. Una, 11 veces. I would not like that to happen to me. Well, why do we need to go to confess to a priest? I can just say my sins to God. Well, you can do that if you like, no? But the church says that the sacrament must be done through a minister of Christ, the one that Christ gave the mission to hear and to forgive or not to forgive. So let us listen to one of the beautiful narratives of one of, here in the U.S. about why do we need to confess to a priest. Watch this.